Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Links and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And obviously last week we had a huge amount of data, both internationally and locally. So I think what we'll pick up on is the updated US inflation numbers for the month of July. In general, I guess at the margin it surprised on the upside. Certainly PPI inflation surprised strongly to the upside. There is further evidence of tariffs starting to push prices higher. So I think we need to discuss that within the context of what the Federal Reserve might do to interest rates. There's obviously the Jackson Hole conference this coming weekend. Powell will talk on Friday, and that'll help us to get a better sense of where the Federal Reserve sees interest rates going over, I guess, the remainder of this year. The other topic relates to South Africa. We had a range of updated information for the month of June. We got Stats SA's data on retail sales, manufacturing and mining. We also had an unemployment update. And in general, I think apart from the high unemployment rate, South Africa's economic data definitely looking quite a bit better in the second quarter of the year. That's relative to the first quarter, which was a dismal performance. So at least a little bit of good news coming through there. I don't think it changes our outlook for the year as a whole. In other words, I don't think we're developing a positive momentum within the economy, but at least the data was slightly better. So I think we can discuss that in terms of some of the underlying dynamics there. So I think the US inflation interest rate and South Africa's growth dynamics in the second quarter. So let's start with the US inflation data. As I said in the introduction, the consumer price index as well as producer inflation data came out for the month of July last week. And I guess there is a clear upward drift developing within the data. The headline number for US inflation remained unchanged at 2.7%. So on the face of it, that seems okay. But the core level of inflation has now moved up to 3.1%, and that was certainly above expectations. Equally, when I look at the producer inflation data, that number's moved up to 3.3%. And if you think the previous month it was sitting down at 2.4%, that's a significant increase. So there's no doubt that there is a general upward drift developing within the US inflation data. If we break down the numbers, obviously we focused on how much of this relates to import duties. And while the evidence of import duties impacting inflation is not overwhelming, it's clearly showing up or starting to show up within the data. And I think you can pick it up in those categories that have a high import content, things like clothing, furnishings, appliances, toys, some of the tools and hardware, etc. All of those numbers are showing elevated levels of inflation. And I think what's important is that if you go back a year, durable goods inflation in the US was sitting at about minus 3%, more or less. So it was in deflation, and it was had remained in deflation for quite some time. And part of that related to the strength of the dollar back then, and also to the fact that China is exporting a deflation. But clearly what the tariffs have done is moved durable goods inflation from persistent deflation into inflation. Now, the overall inflation rate for durable goods is only sitting at 1.2%. So that's not exactly a problem if you've got a target of 2%. But if you've gone from -3 to +1.2 within 6 months, then clearly there's a trend developing. And I think going forward, we expect US inflation to move higher, well above 3%, and to get to around about 3.5%. Now, clearly that's somewhat problematic for the Federal Reserve, because effectively you're going to be looking to cut interest rates in an environment where inflation is becoming more problematic. Now, the only way you can really justify that is if you feel that the increase in inflation as a result of the tariffs is really just going to be temporary. It's a price shock that impacts a whole lot of prices in the system. But beyond that, it's not a sustained increase in the price level. So then you would assume that once you get past the annual effect of the tariff increase, then inflation will start to slow again and move back down closer to the 2%. Obviously, there's a risk with that assumption because it may well not work out that way. It's entirely feasible that inflation moves up as a result of the tariffs and then remains elevated, or it potentially gains momentum of its own. So that represents an ongoing risk for the Federal Reserve. The other dynamic that has unfolded in the US is a weakening of the labor market. And so the argument is, well, even if inflation is moving up, the Fed can cut interest rates because the economy has gone softer. The problem, I guess, for the Fed is that while, yes, the labor market data has softened, what they can't be sure about is that softening simply because companies have been adopting a wait-and-see approach to understand where the tariffs are going, and that they are therefore likely to resume hiring later on this year, or is it a more pronounced weakening of the labor market? All of that matters to the Fed's outlook for interest rates. So at this stage, I think everybody expects that the Fed will resume the interest rate cutting cycle in September. I think they meet on 17 September. And there does appear to be a high probability that they will cut rates in September by 25 basis points. I think if it was up to them on their own, I think they would prefer to continue to wait and see how much of the tariffs are moving through into inflation, what's happening to the labor market. But there's just so much pressure on the Fed, political pressure internally and externally, for them to cut. And it's very difficult to resist that pressure entirely. So I guess at this stage, you would assume that the Fed capitulates and cuts rates in September. And then the expectation would be that they'll cut a further cut interest rates further when they get to their December meeting. They do have an October meeting, but we're assuming they leave rates unchanged in October and then prefer to cut again in December. Now, again, that discussion is really going to center around how much of the inflation pressure has materialized and is it really going to be transitory? And also at the same time, how weak is the labor market and is it something that is turning out to be a lot more problematic? So there are quite a few moving parts to the discussion, but the markets have assumed that the Fed is going to cut and continue to cut this year and into next year, and is pricing in at least 4 or 5 interest rate cuts by the time we get to the end of next year. But I think from our perspective, we just want to highlight that there's a lot of uncertainty around the path of inflation and the performance of the US labor market that you can't be absolutely assured of these interest rate cuts. So I think a couple of cuts, no problem. I think the Fed will be willing to go with that. But beyond that, there's going to have to be clear evidence that the inflation data is actually transitory, or there has to be clear evidence that the US economy is weakening significantly and resulting in job losses for them to continue to cut beyond 1 or 2 cuts during the course of this year. Second topic that I think is worth discussing today is an update on South Africa's economic data for the second quarter of the year. Obviously, we're still waiting for the GDP estimate, but last week we had retail sales, we've had mining production, and before that we had manufacturing output, all for the month of June. And what that did was to give us a sense of how those sectors have done during the second quarter. And it's been surprisingly good. There's been a broad-based improvement in South Africa's economic activity. I'm not talking about rampant growth here, but there's been an uplift in all of our main economic sectors, certainly relative to the first quarter. Now, if you remember the first quarter, South Africa's GDP grew by only 0.1%, with a couple of sectors declining, and there was a concern that we'd see an even further slowdown during the course of this quarter. But the opposite has happened. We've had a resumption of activity, some pickup in some key sectors, particularly I was looking at motor vehicle sales. They've done surprisingly well through the second quarter and into the beginning of the third quarter. If I look at the retail spending, the shopping on clothing and shoes has been phenomenal. If you break down that category, we're growing spending on clothes and shoes at over 6% on an annual basis. Doesn't mean all of the categories are doing well. If I look at other areas like spending on hardware, that remains under pressure, but there are some key areas of strength. If I look at tourism coming into South Africa, that certainly picked up a bit. And then we've had a welcome uplift in mining after a long period of contraction. So I think mostly the improvement is relative to a low base in the first quarter of the year. But I guess there are some factors that are generally supportive of the economy, particularly interest rate cuts. The Reserve Bank cut interest rates fairly recently. Also importantly, if I look where inflation is 3%, many people's salaries are going up above 3%. So there has been an increase in real incomes. And I think those two factors have been, to some extent, supportive. I don't think the data is at this stage indicative of a surge in economic activity or something that would suggest that South Africa's economy is developing a lot of or higher growth momentum. I don't think it's fair to make that sort of conclusion, but there's definitely been some uplift, and it's entirely feasible that we can build on that over the coming quarters. Now, one of the factors we just need to be aware of, or a couple of factors, is that we're still facing the 30% tariffs from the US, and there's no doubt that's going to put our export performance under pressure. And so we've got to be careful with how we interpret the data, because I think that's still ahead, and we're going to see some elements of that weaken our industrial production and just generally slow down the economy. The other factor to be aware of is that we think inflation is going to move well above 4% by the end of this year. So that while inflation at the moment in South Africa is well under control, I think by the end of the year, it's going to be quite a bit higher than where it is now. And clearly the Reserve Bank, with their focus on achieving a 3% inflation outcome, they're not going to be looking to cut interest rates further. And so I think the momentum that we've developed on some of the consumer spending sides may find that it's not as easy going as we get deeper into the year. Also, we've got to be aware that the government didn't provide for tax relief regarding fiscal drag, and so over time that will also weigh on consumers. Now, there has been the ongoing withdrawal of the two-pot system in terms of retirement funds, and we do know that most of that has gone into shopping activity, but I think it's not going to be as supportive this year as it was last year. And so my view is that as we get towards the end of the year, we're not going to quite feel as buoyant as perhaps the numbers we've achieved in the second quarter. And then the focus is really going to be, are we able to implement more structural changes? By that I mean some of the infrastructure projects that are constantly being spoken about, the private-public partnerships. Can we really make headway with some of those initiatives? And if we can, then clearly we've got the ability to lift South Africa's growth rate a little bit more meaningfully than what's going on at the moment. But any good news is to be applauded. And so I think for the moment, the second quarter performance numbers certainly encouraging, and we'll be looking at the data closely to see if we can build on that momentum as we go into the second half of the year. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.